Hey there, I'm Lauren, and you're listening to The Podcast Manager Show, a podcast for podcast managers. Each week, we cover the technical and tactical aspects of running a profitable podcast manager business. With over 90,000 new shows starting each month, podcast managers are in demand. I mean, in demand. And I'm here to help you land your dream clients while reaching your monthly income goals and without working like crazy. Are you ready? Let's get to today's episode. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Podcast Manager Show. I'm talking to Brandy Mowles of Brandy & Company about how to land clients on LinkedIn. We talk a lot about landing clients on Facebook groups. A lot of my students have landed clients through Instagram, but LinkedIn is a great option as well. And I love how Brandy explains exactly how to use it in this episode. One thing that Brandy mentions is having a PDF that gives potential clients value. And while I don't always think that's necessary, I really loved the way that she explains using it on LinkedIn. So on this week's 5-Minute Friday episode, I'll be sharing 3 ideas for a value-packed PDF that makes sense for us podcast managers. So don't miss that. All right, let's dive into Brandy's strategy to land clients using LinkedIn. Hey, Brandy, I'm so excited to have you here today.
Thank you so much, Lauren. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk about LinkedIn because I get questions all the time on, you know, are there podcast clients on LinkedIn? How do I do this? So you are the pro and I'm really excited to have you talk about that today.
I'm excited to talk about LinkedIn. I think it's such an underutilized platform by so many.
Yeah. So let's start off with just hearing about how you got into online business. Tell us a little bit about that story.
Yeah. So I was a mom, a brand new mom. I had a 5-month-old baby. And before that, I had left my 6-year career behind when I was 8 months pregnant because I didn't want to work nights. I didn't want to work weekends anymore. And I just really wanted to change like what our family dynamic was going to look like. And so my husband's like, wait, what are you doing? You're 8 months pregnant. We're about to have a baby. And I was like, it's okay. We'll figure it out. Well, Riley turned 5 months and we had to figure it out. Like it was time to figure it out. And I knew I didn't want to go back to what I was doing. I knew I didn't want to get a 9-to-5 job. And so I was just researching and I found Abby Ashley and I was like, oh, a virtual assistant. I had hired one of those in my previous career, but they sent postcards, like birthday postcards and stuff. And I was like, I am not a postcard type of person. And so I was like, oh, but I can do social media management, email marketing, all that kind of stuff. So I kind of dove in doing all the things and quickly realized that I love digital marketing and then quickly scaled to 10K months, really focusing on Facebook ads. But I am very good at only focusing on the things that matter most to my business. And LinkedIn is definitely one of those things. So I call LinkedIn like a needle mover. And so that's how I got started. And now we're $1 million in revenue. And it's been a fun ride. And I love what I do. And I do it all for my family and my community. So
I love that. So how long ago was that? When was your daughter born, I guess?
Yeah. So that has been July. We're recording in July. And this marks my 2-year anniversary in business.
That's so amazing. Just a little background for our listeners. I have been in business now for 2.5 years. And you and I met, I actually edited a episode of another podcast that you were on. And that's how I first got introduced to you. And you were new in business as I was. And then you and I met actually in person, which is so rare in this space. So it's weird because I feel like we have like a special connection because we've actually seen each other's face.
That's so true. And it was so funny because that was a podcast movement. And that was right before I started my podcast. And we met and you were like, I know you. And I was like, wait, you know me? How? But that was so fun.
Well, so yeah, with podcast management, it's funny because it really bonds you with people that don't know you because you're listening to the unedited version of themselves. Like podcasts in general are so intimate, but listening to someone before they're edited is even more intimate, which that's a weird word to use, but it's the right word. It's just, you get to hear them in their true form. So I love that. I love hearing that about LinkedIn. And so many of us are trying to do, I don't want to say the bare minimum, but you know, we don't want to waste a lot of time in our business. We're not here to clock in hours. We're not just like, okay, I'm going to work from 8 to 5 today. And no, that's not the way we think. You know, we're here to build businesses
in the least amount of time so that we can make money and get back to our families. So I really resonate with that. And I'm excited to dive more into that. Just give us a little bit of a glimpse of what you're doing now. Who do you work with?
Yeah. So my business has definitely changed. And I would say even the last 6 months, as I'm still a service provider, I run Facebook and Instagram ads for course creators, mostly in the 6 and 7 figure range. And my clientele is shrinking, but I'm keeping on those few like clients that I just love working with. And I have now like one-on-one VIP day type things, but now I've transitioned more into focusing on building, you know, $1 million business. And so it's more of my course and my membership that my main focus is on. But I'm still always in the trenches with my service providers because I never want to get rusty on what's working now, what's not working. And so a lot of it is like research and development, I like to say, is what I'm doing. So I just offered a VIP day and I was like, let's see what this looks like. How would I market this? And so I'm always testing different things, but the majority of my business now is focused on helping others do what I've done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I see that the similarity between Facebook ads and podcast management, that things are always changing. So, you know, for podcasts, it's like launching a podcast, it changes month by month because different things are being used. Even the systems change because Apple Podcasts is always changing something. So yeah, you really have to just be in it to get good at it and then to stay fine-tuned in it. So then, okay, let's talk about LinkedIn. Let's just start with the basics of, we have a profile that we created like to get a job when we graduated college. What are those first steps that you would take to try to start landing clients as a freelancer?
Yeah. So I think the first thing with any platform is recognizing, is your client even on there? So as we've seen with everything going on, new podcasts coming on the market has like skyrocketed. You probably know the numbers better than me, but it's like so many new podcasts and not all of those people are in the business space. I think a lot of times we get hung up on like, oh, it's course creators or it's influencers that have podcasts, but there's a lot of podcasts out there that have nothing to do with business. And they're actually like at the top of the charts rather than business. And so I would first take a minute and say, like, who do you want to work with? Is it authors? I just was listening to a podcast about a guy who owns Insane Pools. Lucas Lagoon's down here. He has a TV show, but it's a pool podcast about like building pools. So we have to think about which type of person do we want to go after and are they linked on LinkedIn? So like this pool guy, he is on LinkedIn. We have like medical professions, authors, they are on LinkedIn. And more course creators are coming to the platform. But if you want to work with influencers that aren't like Gary Vee or like Lewis Howes, something like that, where they're on all the platforms, then LinkedIn's probably not going to be the best place for you. So I think really it's identifying like, what kind of podcaster do you want to work with? Another great example is at Podcast Movement. I met a guy who he helps med students learn all their things. Well, he's on LinkedIn because all of his med students are on LinkedIn. So like if that's the type of person, he's a course creator, but it's different courses than we're typically used to thinking of. So getting creative, like who do you want to work with? That's definitely the first step.
Yeah, I so agree with that. I actually just was on a call with a guy. It's a friend from college. Her dad wants to start a podcast in speaking about oil. And I'm like, I honestly don't like, are we talking about gasoline? I believe we're talking about gasoline. But I like, wasn't even sure what he was talking about. Cause that's not my space, but he's on LinkedIn and he wants to start a podcast. So yeah, it's easy to just think about those like coaches in the course creating coach world. And that's it's a big world. And those people are on Facebook. But when we, yeah, I love that. When we're thinking about LinkedIn, we're thinking about a completely different type of podcaster, which then just opens up the opportunity.
Absolutely. And we also have to think like authors, they're really big on LinkedIn and they have like, they're in the podcasting game. Like the fiction is like massive on podcasting. So get creative, check it out. But definitely if you want to work like with like Kylie Jenner, she doesn't have a podcast, but like, you know, that type of influencer, they're probably not going to be on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. But like I said, that's changing. Things are changing. So get on there, check out and see if the people you would dream clients would want to work with are actually active on the platform.
Yeah. So that's the difference between maybe, let's talk about an author, because I love that example. On LinkedIn, they might be more active than they are on Instagram? Or would they be more likely to see a message that you send them on LinkedIn versus Instagram?
Absolutely. Because here's the thing, the platform is so algorithm friendly, because I didn't pull the numbers, but it's in my, like, I have a free training for y'all and it's in there, but it's such a small percentage of the people that are on LinkedIn. They have a lot of active users per month, but the amount of people who are actually posting and using the platform in like that type of way is so small. It's like 30% of people who are actually on LinkedIn are posting once a week. So that's in your favor. If you're posting on LinkedIn once a week, you're already at the top of the algorithm. And then once you connect with someone, you can very easily get into their messages. Of course, you don't want to be spammy or anything, but it's much easier to show up there. You're not going to go to an others folder or anything like that. But the first thing after you decide if the platform's actually right for you, the second thing is going to be to actually optimize your profile so people know what you do and they actually want to connect with you.
Okay, yeah. So how do we go about optimizing?
Yeah, so this is the free training that I put together for you, because it is literally a step-by-step training, because there's so many moving aspects to LinkedIn. So you have like your banner. That's what they're going to see, their photo. So the quick things you can do is optimize your banner. Let them know exactly how you help them. It's not about you. It's about them. How do you help them? And the more specific you can get, the better. So I help author podcasters get their stories heard or something like that, and make your banner very visual. Also, you want to have a very professional photo. This isn't Instagram. It's not Facebook. I will say that I had a selfie for a really long time and got clients, but ideally you want a nice professional photo. This doesn't mean a headshot, but one where like your eyes are at the camera, you look like you're a professional. That's going to be much better than just having like a selfie or something like that, but don't let that hold you back. Get something up there. And then the other key thing is when you have this little like tagline underneath your name, people see that and you don't want that to be like podcast manager. No, that's going to look like everyone else in the search thing. You want to say in there like, I help authors get their podcast heard by others, or I take away the stress of producing a podcast for authors. Like, that's what you want that tagline to be, not podcast manager.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that tip, because you want them to immediately see, hey, I work with authors. So if you're an author, we're already a match. And this is exactly the transformation that I'm going to get you. This is how I'm going to help you. And yeah, I was just imagining the Instagram photos, like they're so artsy. You know, some people's profile pictures are so artsy, but here you're saying we really want to think about a professional photo where it looks more like a headshot, even if it's not exactly a headshot.
Absolutely. Eyes in the camera, like that draws more people to your profile. There's like so many studies that show that like if your eyes are looking directly into the camera, more people are going to click on your profile. And that goes across all social media platforms.
Okay. So we've optimized our profile. How do we find and connect with our ideal clients?
Yeah. So I always say like, pick a month that you're going to go all in on LinkedIn. So for 30 days, so we call it the Marketing Minute Challenge in my community, but you're going all in on LinkedIn for 30 days. So you can do the free premium plan. You get a 30-day trial, you get a lot more features, and that's when you're going like hardcore on LinkedIn for 30 days. So I would upgrade to that once you're ready to really say, okay, this is what I'm going to do for 30 days. Then get that. But regardless, you can search by keywords, which is so nice. So if you're working with authors, in the keyword search, you would type author. And then you want to hit second connections, because third connections, that means y'all don't have anyone related to you. Second connections mean you're connected with someone that's connected with them. So you're more likely to end up being a connection, which is kind of like a friend request on Facebook. You're more likely to be connected if you're a second connection. So you want to search like author. For me, whenever I was working, I wanted to find business owners. So I was using CEO, founder, president, like I was using those keywords. So figure out what is your keywords. You could also search podcaster. I mean, that's such an easy word to come up with. And then you're going to go through that list that it provides and just start connecting. I was always referred to it as, I was never on Tinder. I met my husband when I was 17, but I always say it's like Tinder. You're like scrolling and you're like, connect, 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 like with the ones that are your ideal client. So go through, don't just connect to connect, like connect with your ideal client. And then you're just going to do that. And it's when you first start out, I say it's really about the quantity rather than like how many people you're sending DMs, and they're not DMs, but just so everyone understands what I'm talking about, messages. Then it's about like, okay, now I've connected with these people. My profile's getting like social proof on it. Now let's start going back and messaging those people.
Yeah. Okay. So then, yeah, the connecting is kind of like sending a friend request.
Yep.
And then some of them, hopefully majority of them will accept. I'm thinking through my LinkedIn profile, and majority of my connections are like people from college. So do you recommend connecting with people that you know in other ways, or would that like mess up the algorithm? Do you want as many connections as possible?
So you want as many connections that are the right connections, but you're only allowed to have one profile. So if you have the one from college, don't like change it up, but don't worry about those people because they may have people in their second connections who are your ideal client. So for me, I was thinking mine was very college and law school based. So when I got on the platform, I was like, who do I know who's connected to a lot of small business owners? And so for me, that was my brother's father-in-law. And I was like, he knows everyone. He knows, like, it would be perfect. So I connected with him. And then the second connections just like flooded in because I could go through and then connect with all his second. So if you are someone who is in the podcasting, let's say there's an author that has a podcast, a big one, go in there and start connecting with them, because then you're going to get all those second connections, or connect with another podcaster that may be having more. So like Lauren, if you were optimizing your LinkedIn and you were on there, you would probably have a lot of podcasters on your thing. So it would be smart for me if I was just starting out to go connect with you, because then I'm going to have all those connections, second connections.
Yes. Yes. I love that. That is so, so, so smart. So strategic. And then I'm even thinking, you know, let's say that someone wants to connect with an author. A lot of my students are interested in like parenting coach or a parenting author. I wouldn't say a lot, but there's a good amount of them. And so I could see they would be on LinkedIn, and you could search people that talk about parenting and go through those and see, okay, who are the people that are podcasters, and you could find people that way.
So really quick on that, because I'm just thinking parenting, I've been on one of the top birth, I guess it's birth, prenatal, whatever, podcast, and shared my story. She's an OBGYN, but she has a podcast on birth. So like, we would connect on LinkedIn, and then I would have all these people who are connected to her, but then also like sleep consultants, they're on LinkedIn. We hired a sleep consultant. So they'd probably have other sleep consultants that maybe one of those have a podcast. So yeah, like thinking really strategically about that.
Oh, I love that. Okay. So then we've made all these connections. What's our next step?
So now sometimes if your profile is optimized so well that like people just know, and you're very clear on who you're serving, you'll just have people start messaging you. So that's like best case scenario. That happened to me a lot in the beginning, but that's not always going to be the case. So then it's going through the connections you have. And some people like spreadsheets. I'm not a spreadsheet girl, but I'm sure I feel like podcast management is kind of like project management. So y'all probably like spreadsheets. So you can export your list and you just put it into an Excel, and you could set up like, hey, I've sent them a message, they responded. You could like make it super trackable. That would be like the best thing to do. Me, I'm just like, okay, I'm going to send you a message, you a message, you a message, and just go down my list. But I make it like, how can I add value? And so it's never like, hey, I see you have a podcast, I'm a podcast manager. It would be like, hey, I saw you have a podcast. I listened to episode blah, 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 blah. I love this about it. Who do you have that's actually producing your podcast for you? And you come from it from that way. And so you've taken the time to listen to an episode, and then you're asking them, who produces that? And if they say like, oh, I do, then do you have something you could send them? Like for me as a Facebook ad manager, it's a pixel guide. Like, hey, I noticed you don't have a Facebook pixel installed on your website. Here's my free guide. Are you okay if I send you the link? Never just drop links and messages. Always ask if it's okay. So if you had like 10 ways to like shorten your production time, like I would be very strategic. So 10 ways to shorten your production time. And then the next page would be like why you should outsource to get more time back. And then like, here's 10 tips. So it's like very something that's a lot of value and not just like, here, hire me, and then have like a booking link. And then you would just follow up with them and be like, hey, I just want to see if you had a chance to check out that free guide I sent you. Was it helpful? And just leave it at that. And it's about a 30%, like you'll send them out and about 30 to 40% of people will then like respond back and, you know, then you set up calls.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that percentage is pretty good. Now, is this like lead magnet per se, is it a link directly to it or are you capturing their email?
So I am not someone who wants to like, I feel like when you send links sometimes to people and then they have to opt in, it feels like gross. And I'm all about marketing. Like I love the marketing world. I will be honest though, as someone who runs Facebook ads, I send them to a link that's pixeled. So I'm capturing their data kind of like so I could retarget them on Facebook if I wanted, but just add value. Don't worry about the email. Don't worry about that. Like you have their direct connection on the platform. Use that. Mm-hmm. And then you can go and look like a lot of them do have their emails on LinkedIn. So you could always, if you have that fancy spreadsheet, you could always go and grab their email and put it beside their name. And then you'd have that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I think that just that second step of them having to opt in to the guide would probably lose a lot of people. So yeah, that makes sense. Thank you so much for giving us like exactly what you would say. That's really, really helpful. So you don't do any sort of like small talk. This is like one of those things that I think there's such a fine line of, you don't want to come on too strong, I suppose. I hate the word salesy because it's like, I feel like it's negative towards sales and it's like sales are awesome, but we don't want to come off too strong or just unprofessional, I suppose. But at the same time, you don't want to just be chatting it up with all these people without telling them, hey, I can help you.
So I do not small talk in my real life. I'm not small talking on social media. I think like one of the worst questions is when someone says, how is your day? And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going down that direction. So no, just like ask the question, who produces your thing? Give them value. Like no one wants to small talk and everyone, like it feels gross because then you're building this relationship. You've like chatted with them and then there's an ask. And that feels like, oh, you didn't really care about what I was doing. And this is even in your real life. Whenever I need to ask someone something, I don't start with like, hey, how's business going? It's like, hey, would you mind doing this for me? And also, I would love to know how mom life is going. I know you just had a new baby. And after you answer that, definitely tell me about how mom life is going. Because then they know that I haven't asked, but then I also care about something. And then if we small chat, it's about that. But there's no like hoodwinking them in there.
Oh, I love that. Yes, you are so right. Because yeah, if you were to do that in real life, it would come off so surface. Like it's like, okay, they actually don't care. And it's okay, they don't care because I'm willing to do this thing for them. So we don't need to small chat. Okay, yes. So you're talking about how can you provide value, what kind of PDF or whatever. And I think from the podcast management space, so many podcasters still are learning about what a podcast manager does. So if they see, oh, this person's a podcast manager, they just connected with me. I wonder what they even do. I think that for our listeners, that would be a really great starting point as to say, hey, whether you have this in a PDF or you somehow craft it into your answer, you could say, hey, this is what I do for podcasters. I book their guests. I edit and, you know, just using the word produce, podcasters are even like, is that what I'm doing? Like some of these bigger words, it's not even a big word, but it's just a word that people don't quite understand the meaning behind. So I think that would be a great use of that strategy. And you said, okay, about 30% of people will hop on a call.
30% of people will respond letting you know, like, yes, I either read it. No, I didn't. I'm not really interested in a podcast manager, or I'd love to know more about this. But at that point, it's about you creating like that ask. So if they come back and say, no, I haven't had a chance to look at over it, say, well, it's a great, I know that you're short on time because clearly they didn't have enough time to look at it. So I get it. You're short on time. And my job as a podcast producer or manager is to get more time back for podcasters. Is there any reason why we couldn't jump on a 15-minute call and I tell you a little bit more about what I do?
Yes, yes. Okay. So all of this is happening on LinkedIn. I think that's interesting because, you know, normally if we're talking about Facebook DMs or Instagram DMs, I would want to pull them into an email just because people get lost in like IG DMs and stuff. But I think it makes sense that you're staying on LinkedIn because they probably don't have that many messages that you're going to get lost, right?
No, I think this is really interesting that you move people to email or like anything. Cause I'm like, oh God, don't send me another email. So I think that's interesting. And so see, this is the thing, like everything's going to work differently for different people and just how email may like keep you more organized. But then there's people who hate being in their inbox and they're never going to check it. So the thing with LinkedIn, it's not a super crowded space. You're adding value because the only messages they're getting are super spammy messages. But you also have to remember, most of these people are at work. Mm-hmm. So you're hitting them up when there's like nothing for them to be doing or there is stuff for them to be doing. But usually the only social media platform they can get on is LinkedIn. I was talking to my brother who works as a financial advisor for a large hospital, and he was telling me that all the like social platforms are blocked except for LinkedIn. So he's on there. But other people have told me the same thing. Like in the corporate world, a lot of these businesses block Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, that kind of thing, but they keep LinkedIn open. So this is your chance to hit them up during business hours, and they're not swimming in their inbox or anything.
Yes. Yes. Such a good point. Yeah. I mean, I think Facebook is definitely blocked by most companies because they're like, what good is going to happen on there? Whereas in LinkedIn, you know, you could be making connections for the company and such. Okay. I think we know how to take it from someone gets on a call and we can go from there. But any other things that we want to know about LinkedIn?
Yeah. So don't think that you have to post all the time, but do post. So, and what are you posting? You want to be very strategic because it's probably going to be seen. So think about who you're serving. So if I'm serving dentist, or let's use author because we've been using that. If I'm serving authors, maybe there is a like article on authors podcasting, or even with Corona, like everything that's been going on, there was all these articles on Forbes and stuff about how podcasts like X amount of new podcasts have hit the platform and blah, blah, blah. Like that's something good to share because that's so relevant to podcasters. So you want to share that type of stuff, not stuff about podcast management. You can, but mm-hmm. The better way to share podcast management would be around like education. Like you said, posting something that's an article. So LinkedIn gives you articles that you can write. And so you would do like it's like a blog post. So it's going to be a longer form thing. So you could do the 10 reasons why a podcast manager will save you time. And like write kind of like a blog format. If you're already doing a blog, literally copy and paste it on there. Make sure that it is professional. Like you don't want to have misspellings, things like that. Remember, it's a professional platform. And post that as an article. Then the next week, post an article related to authors and podcasting. And then the next week, post like, hey, did you know you could create audiograms using Wave or whatever? And here's a quick tutorial on how to do it, that kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah. So you're just like once a week is enough. And yeah, definitely share how you can help people, how authors have started podcasts, maybe how this could help them sell a book and that sort of thing. I can see that working. And it's nice to know that you don't have to post. It's not like, okay, post every single day, which I guess, so if we were going to do like a 30-day deep dive into LinkedIn, like you said, are you still only posting once a week?
No, I think if you're like going all in on one platform, that's the big thing. Like too many service providers are on every platform, like TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, pick one platform and go all in. So if you're going all in on LinkedIn for 1 month, that's where your focus is. All your marketing minutes Monday through Friday are on that platform for 20 minutes a day, whether it's connecting, you're posting an article, something like that. So I would say 3 times, they'll kick you into the algorithm really nicely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that sounds great. And I couldn't agree more on going all in on one, maybe two. And if you've tried Facebook groups and you're like, hey, I'm not getting any bites, it could be because your ideal podcaster isn't there. But I think then moving on to another platform or even just starting out with LinkedIn and going all in for 30 days, and to see if, hey, okay, am I making some progress here? I think that's a smart strategy.
And no matter which platform you use, it's 30 days is building momentum. You usually see the most results within the 60 and 90 days. Really, you start to get those discovery calls in the like 30 to 60 day window. So not just giving up on the platform, that's when you're really testing, you're getting familiar, you're getting to know each other. I always tell my Facebook ad clients that the first 30 days, and I'm talking about running ads, is for testing. The second 30 days is for optimizing. The third 30 days is for scaling. The same thing with our service-based business and marketing. No matter what platform you're on, the first 30 days is really about testing out what works for you, what doesn't, what's connecting with people. That next 30 days is about optimizing that process and getting those discovery calls. And then that 90-day mark, that's all about scaling what you're doing that's working and leaving behind what's not working.
Mm-hmm. And you're building such momentum because, you know, see, if we're talking about LinkedIn, you're making more connections. So then by the time you're at that 60 to 90 day mark, you already have so many more connections than you did in the beginning. So it's just, it's like, get something going. This is just in business, I think. Choose one thing, stay focused, get it started, allow it to then work for you before you get shiny object syndrome and move on to something else.
Absolutely.
Okay, awesome. So you mentioned that you have a training for us, and I definitely want to get the link for that. It will be in the show notes, but tell us a tiny bit more about that.
Yeah, so it's servescalesoar.com/LinkedIn. And this is how to optimize your LinkedIn profile. So I take you step by step how to optimize it. So when you start connecting, people are ready to connect back with you, from what privacy settings you should have on to how to create a great banner to how to write a great bio and all those elements to get you set up for success. So that's a free video training and it's there for you to download.
Okay, awesome. And then how can people find you and connect more with you?
Yeah, so I have a podcast, the Serve, Scale, Soar podcast, and that is all about scaling your service-based business to consistent $10,000 months. We talk all things service provider related, not course or anything like that related. It's specifically for us service providers. And then also always on Instagram, it's at Brandy and Company, all spelled out, Brandy and Company. And then you can also find me on LinkedIn, of course. I'm on there and we'll link up that in the show notes because it's a longer URL.
Yeah. And then everyone can connect with you and maybe utilize some of your connections like we've been talking about.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Brandy, thank you so much for being on the show. I think this is going to be so impactful for people that are like, okay, I'm ready to land clients. I want to try LinkedIn. Now they're going to be ready to make that happen.
Thank you so much for having me, Lauren.
Thanks so much for hanging out with me today. Come connect with me over on Instagram at Lauren Wrighton, or in the Podcast Manager Mastermind on Facebook. And let me know what you liked about this episode. You can always find the links and resources mentioned in this show over at laurenwrighton.com. Until next time, I'll be cheering you on.